Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fam. I just saw something that I wanted to ask you about, B.
What's that?
5 years ago today, Chief Z passed away.
That was my guy.
I'm guessing, so it's funny, all I did was just retweet it, and I got a million people responding.
If you're a true fan and you've been to games, you at one point come in contact with him.
What was your, now, I wonder if young guys know about Chief Z. Like, I wonder if Lanfill and Cody Betts. Lanfill, you remember Chief Z?
Yeah, I met him at a game one time. I think it was a Monday night game where they were getting completely destroyed by the Titans.
I remember that game.
I think Javon Curse or somebody might have been just completely dominating. I met him there. He was comforting the kids who were crying because they were losing so badly.
Did you get a picture of him?
That's the thing about him. He was, I think Chief Z was more than just that fan, that mega fan or whatever. Because like I've done a lot of autograph signings and appearances where he was there. And he would do the balloons and the, like make the little animal with like a sword, and he'll make little like
the balloon animals.
He did all that type of stuff, and you know, adults and kids love being around him. You know, and I just, you know, when you just like Biz, you know, whenever you saw Biz, he was never the guy who was like, I'm a celebrity,
right? Just regular
dude. Man, that dude would walk up to me and just start cracking jokes. And I heard a story this weekend, I'm going to say, by Biz, and Chief Z was kind of this way too, where they just lived their life. He walked up to Sade and rubbed her head, her forehead, Biz, and then somebody say, so I'm going to tell the dudes in the hood I rubbed Sade's forehead. And she laughed. You know, what dude could probably do that to anybody and get away with it? But Chief Z was the same type of way. I did many, many appearances with him. And, you know,
when's the first time you met him? Do you remember?
90, when I got here. You know, because like, I had seen him. What's the cowboy, the dude that in Dallas?
Yeah, because those guys used to,
they used to mess with each other.
Get into it,
and when I got here and I met him, and I was like, this dude cool as hell. Because like, the thing about when you see somebody in TV and things of that nature, they're larger than life.
Right.
But when you finally meet them, you find out who they really are. You know, that's why I tell a lot of people, don't judge athletes or actors or actresses by what you see on TV, just in once you come in contact with them. And if you never come in contact with them, don't take somebody else's word, because a lot of fans that go up to people with this I own you mentality, you get told how, what the hell to get off. So make sure you meet people before you figure out who they are.
Totally. So I'll open the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. If you have a Chief Z memory, you want to give us a call, I'd love to hear it. I mean, the tweets I've gotten, this is from Rob Shoemaker. He says, Chief Z sat with my wife and I at the Hall of Fame induction for Daryl Green and Art Monk. My wife was very pregnant at the time, and he was really awesome. He kept making sure she was drinking water. Super kind man.
That's him, man.
He is missed. I was actually at that Hall of Fame induction as well, and we met Chief Z and got a picture with him. My boy Rudy, if he's out there, has the picture. He should, or maybe Peter. One of my boys has that picture. Tweet it at me or text me if you can. But all these people are just feeling the love from Chief Z. And here's the other part of this. So I had a conversation with Jason Wright last week. It's on the Washington Football Talk podcast. You should go listen to it. I think it's really important that a character like that, like you can't tell the story of the Washington football team without Chief Z.
Yeah.
And I think I recognize now in 2021 that maybe his imaging isn't in line with what the team is doing going forward, but you can't scrub him from the record
books.
I'll
say this, the way he was and what he was doing it for, I know his actions were nothing derogatory.
Dude, absolutely.
You know, so.
Well, and that's, so Jason even said, he's like, listen, as we work on this rebrand and trying to come up with a name that, you know, our fans will love and identify with, we want people to know that the memories you have of this organization aren't bad. Like none of it is wrong, right? And I think Chief Z almost exemplifies that the best, because He was such a good-hearted, kind, just super fan of this football team.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, he wore a crazy headdress and was named Chief Z, but, like, it, there was no malice there. There was no ill intent. And I think that just needs to be remembered as a huge part. I mean, when you went to games at RFK, when I was a kid, you know, I didn't get to go to RFK that often because by the time I was, I guess, in middle school, they had moved to Terrible FedEx. But
damn you, young.
I mean, I'm not that much younger than you, but.
You seem to be.
But.
I was paying taxes and you were in middle school.
Dude, speaking of taxes, I just got my tax bill. Montgomery County is such a pain. I openly want to move to Virginia. I want the world to know I want to move to Virginia.
We pay some good taxes, but we watch them all go to work.
We pay the highest taxes. Maybe this district, the act like living in the city would be higher. But you just, it feels, you feel like you're a damn ATM machine. It's just so transactional. And the fact that there are speed cameras everywhere, and I can't buy beer at the grocery store, and they charge me a nickel for every paper bag I need at the store. Just all of it.
Just go get you one of those reusable bags and stop worried about their paper bag.
Brian.
It'll be a lot cheaper.
Do you think I can remember to bring a bag with me to the store?
I think if you just put it in your car, you go to the grocery store. How many times do you go to the grocery store a week?
Seemingly all the time.
Okay. Put it in your car. And every time you go to the grocery store, just remember I got to grab this bag at the back seat.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in theory, that seems totally reasonable.
What I'm learning from you is that you just don't want to change your bad habits to become a better overall. You could change up all those little things you have. You just changed up some of you.
Totally.
I'm going to keep working on you.
I mean you're absolutely right.
This is going to be my life goal to get J.P. Finley up to par. Like, I think I did a great job with my four kids, and I'm going to try my best to get my fifth kid along the way, too.
I appreciate it. The tweets are pouring in about Chief Z. Ren Gambino says, hell yeah, 90s kids love Chief Z. DC High Life says, when the NFL Network Washington Super Bowl special showed him chanting the diesel sound. Like, you can't tell the story of the Washington football team without Chief Z. He's just, he's such a part of it. So I don't know. That just had me thinking a little bit about what this organization was and kind of where they're trying to go. I do think, and we're going to talk to Aaron Schatz about this in just a few minutes. Organizationally, I think they are their most sound.
Yeah.
Because, at least in the Snyder era. Because I'll say this, even when they had Gibbs, and Gibbs was running the football operation, we now know all the dirtbag stuff that was going on the business side.
Mm-hmm.
And Vinny was still poking around, looking all boogity-eyed. Now, I think that second Gibbs roster might have had more talent.
Yeah,
I don't know. Chase Young might tip the scale, though. But they had, when you have Sean Taylor, Santana, Portis,
they had
Cooley.
They had people on both sides of the ball.
Chris Samuels.
Yeah, but what I'll say is this. Right now, the public perception and the national perception is far better than what it ever was before Ron walked in town, even when Coach Gibbs was here. Then Jason Wright seems to have them on the right path on that side as well. Now, for most people, it's going to say, what happens over the long run? This culture change and all that, is it going to be good? And will just as many people that were complaining about what was, is it going to have that same amount of people complaining about how good things are? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think ultimately when you're looking from on the outside looking in, okay, and as much as I have not been completely in the inside, I know a lot what goes on, okay?
You are pretty damn inside.
I know a ton of what goes on, and I feel proud about what's happening. You get what I'm saying? And like people, they sit up here and they want to tell me, oh, you just got mad. No, I've never been mad because you know what? I learned when Art Monk left this team, I said, if it happened to him, it happened to me. So I prepared myself for all of it. But whenever you attack my character, I'm going to come right back fighting because I'm not going to let you do that. And that's what I dealt with them. But ultimately, you look and I pull for this team more than any team I play for. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
And I live here. So ultimately, when I see things happening and I start hearing people say things positively about this football team, it makes me feel good. So I'm happy to see the things that are happening. But as I say in every situation, when you start gaining power, you have to be careful that the natural human nature thing doesn't take over, where you gain a little more power and then all of a sudden you start thinking it's about you instead of us. You get what I'm saying? So those in charge have to be careful, because naturally our human tendency is to start sticking our chest out and thinking it's all about what we do.
Well, speaking about organizations and cultures and all this stuff, news came out last week, and maybe you guys hit on this, that the Washington football team is one of four teams in the league significantly below the 85% vaccination threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to have an impact on the team if that doesn't change here in the next 6 weeks.
It will. But I'll say this. Every person that does or doesn't, that's their absolute right. But you also have to realize that you're going to have to deal with different stipulations. And this is because the NFL has to look at everything as a whole. And if the ones that are not vaccinated, that's, if you really look at it, let's look at the whole thing. It's a detriment to what they want. They lost a lot of money last year. Although they made way more than we know that they made, but right. They lost a lot. And they're not going to allow a smaller group of people to affect the large group. So the guys that are vaccinated, they can go fly out of town. They can go out the hotel. They can go different places. Those that aren't, you stay in your room and you stay in a hotel. You get out, then now you can be fined and lose money and all types of things like that. You could say it's not fair, but you know what? This is a private entity. They make rules how they want to make them.
Yep.
And you got to deal with it. And you knew this up front. And this is not to say go do this, go that. No, you stick by what you believe in, but ultimately understand that the rules are going to be different.
Listen, I wish everybody would get the vaccine. It's not up to me. People have the right to do whatever mm-hmm. they want. I firmly believe that. But it's going to get hella inconvenient, if not more. There's a medical risk here. This isn't all just about football. And I thought for a long time that kind of the carrot of telling players, like, look, things can get back to normal as long as you get the shot, would drive players to get the shot. But sure enough, it's not getting there.
Because, you know, the player's mindset for the most part is going to be, it's helping the team. It ain't necessarily helping me.
Right.
And I think that's the ultimate thing. And I think, listen, man, when this thing, people will see certain names, big names, smaller names that are not doing it. But ultimately, if you are willing to go through the limitations that you were going through, that's up to you. Because they were limited like hell last year.
Let me read you this. So Dallas, the Cowboys, I don't believe were as low as Washington, but they're still not at the 85% threshold. Michael Irvin, talking about his Cowboys. You're not thinking right. I don't give a damn. Nothing else can be more important. You're not going to get this winning a Super Bowl easily. And not being one of the vaccinated teams says there's other things to a great number of people on this team that are more important than winning championships, and that makes me worried. Said, this is Michael Irvin, quotes via the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Michael Irvin on Dallas players' hesitancy with the vaccine. Call me stupid because I try to take any little thing and turn it in if you are a championship team. Any little thing, because a championship team, it's not something you can walk by. It's not candy that you can pick out of the bowl. It's something that has to be grafted. Every decision has to be made like you're winning championships. If you're not one of the vaccinated teams, are you really thinking about winning a championship?
I'm not going to go that far, because I think this thing here is some people have different beliefs and some people fear certain things. But I would say, just like when Montez Sweat talked about this earlier, about things he didn't know, I would say educate yourself. Don't educate yourself on Instagram. Don't educate yourself on Twitter. Really read up on stuff and educate yourself to learn more. And if you still don't want to, then you don't. But at the end of it, if you're on the football field, whether you have it or not, and you're playing, you're trying to win a championship. I don't believe because someone is they have a problem with something that they don't want to win the championship. I wouldn't go that far.
I'm with you. Last quote from Irvin. This one's wild. If I'm on a team in this situation, I'm going to make sure to ask, did you get vaccinated? Did you get vaccinated? Somebody in that damn locker room needs to say, hey, man, we're going to have a chance. Are you vaccinated? Let's go through this because this could be 2 weeks, a healthy dude missing games. In this league, that could be it for you. The right person misses 2 weeks, that's it. Your ass is out. I'll fight a bleep.
Yeah, but suppose, Irvin, suppose the leaders and the badasses are the ones that's not getting vaccinated.
Could be. Okay. Could be. We'll ask our next guest, Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz. We'll ask him about the vaccination rates and, more specifically to the Washington football team, what can we expect from Ryan Fitzpatrick? Next, 106.7. Beamish and Finley back, 106.7 The Fan. We just had a medical situation here in the studio. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders joining us momentarily. But I've never seen Brian be more compassionate in the moment. I guess Cody.
He could be my son.
Cody, you have an allergy problem today,
pal? He's my son. He's younger than
my
son.
Yeah, I just had to wake up early, and I forgot to take my Allegra this morning, and I'm just can't breathe a little bit. But
the
we're
next break, I'm running to CVS to get you some
Beamish
stuff.
Is very worried about Cody's allergy situation. And he's walking around asking everybody if they have allergy medicine. And I suffer, too, from bad allergies. So I don't have any pills on me, but I had my nasal spray available. And I thought...
And I would recommend he don't do anything nasally.
So all I said was, Cody, I have nasal spray. Do you want to use it? I don't really know how we go about this. And understandably, Cody said, No, I don't.
And tell him what you tried to do.
Well, I didn't try. There is no try. There's only do. So I took it upon myself to make Cody breathe better, and I just started spraying the nasal spray on him in the studio, in the aquarium there, and I bet he's already getting better.
No.
How's it smelling there, Lanville?
I mean, I can taste the nasal spray.
He could taste it. I was smelling it. I mean.
Well, are you breathing better now?
No, I'm upset.
My nose got stopped up.
It certainly doesn't stop your nose. Cody, do you feel better now after I sprayed you with nasal spray?
I'm actually all good.
See?
I think you cured it.
Boom.
He's just saying
I'm
that to
basically
make sure
Marie Curie. That's basically what
he's doing that to make sure you don't come in and try that crap again.
Maybe I have to do it every hour. We'll find out. Save Cody Betts. Right now, let's go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's talk to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders, editor-in-chief. Make sure you check out Football Outsiders. Has a ton of good content coming up. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've got our Football Outsiders Almanac finally available. It's our big 500-page season preview, and folks can get it at footballoutsiders.com, and it's a lot of work, and I finally can take a breath.
So good for you, man.
You say 500 pages, so what does this entail?
We've got chapters on every team with a bunch of advanced stats and write-ups on every unit. We've got comments on all the skill players with fantasy football projections and then write-ups of the top 50 college teams.
Well, all right, so, Aaron, for me, I'm not a big fantasy football player, but if I decide I want to go out and do fantasy football this year, which player on Washington's team would probably be the guy that I would think would make me the most points?
Probably Antonio Gibson because he's a really good running back. Although, I mean, the problem is he's so good as a receiver, but Ryan Fitzpatrick historically doesn't throw to running backs as much as, like, the quarterbacks that Washington had last year.
Okay.
I don't know that any quarterbacks throw to running backs more than the quarterbacks Washington had last year. So, Aaron, I want to make sure that everybody understands Football Outsiders invented – I don't want to overstate it, but like what DVOA has become across the NFL is a tool that coaches, front office, scout, like people look at this as a real metric to measure teams. Can you explain a little bit about DVOA and how you guys, because it Pro Football Focus has kind of become maybe the biggest, but I think a lot of people don't always agree with their gradings, whereas DVOA is statistical driven. Can you just explain that a little bit for our audience?
Sure. The basic idea is to think of football situationally the way coaches do. So we judge every play on its success that's based on the down and distance. You know, 3 yards on a 3rd and 1 is good. 3 yards on a 3rd and 10 is bad. And then we compare that success to a league average baseline that's adjusted for situation and opponent. And it comes out to a number where above 0 is good for offense and below 0 is good for defense.
And based on the DVOA model, what is like the greatest team ever in NFL history?
We go back to 1983, and our number one team is the 1991 Washington Redskins.
Brian Mitchell currently has his hands in the air. If he was wearing his Super Bowl ring, I imagine he'd be shoving it in my face right now. I agree. I think that team historically doesn't get the credit they deserve.
We got to talk to the expert now. Aaron, explain to people why that team is considered the best ever, because people like to always talk about these other teams that were great on defense, great on offense, but that team was loaded offense, defense, and special teams.
Everywhere, right. If you look at our, like, all the teams that we've done over, whatever, 39 years of stats, they're, like, in the top 30 on offense, defense, and special teams. It's pretty remarkable how well-rounded that team was.
I mean, that team was truly a treasure. Let's go to the team now. What do you think of Washington for the 2021 season?
I think they're going to come out pretty average, which is basically where they came out last year at 7-9. I think that you can expect the defense to maybe take a little bit of a step back, because when you have as much improvement as they had last year, you usually take a little step back. But you can expect the offense to be a good amount better, because they were the worst offense in the league last year. Whoa. Fitzpatrick is not going to be as good as he was last year in Miami, but he's going to be a lot better than what they got out of Haskins and Smith.
Why do you think Fitz will take a step back here?
He was so good last year with pressure. He was the best quarterback in the league under pressure, and that's just not as consistent from year to year as performance without pressure, and he was 27th in the league without pressure.
Right. So he's 27 without, but he was the best with pressure. Have you ever seen any set like that for a quarterback?
Yeah, there was a year that Josh McCown was kind of like that in Chicago. It was like 2013 or something, over half a season, and he had a year that was completely out of step with Josh McCown's entire career, which goes to show you the sort of random variation that you get when quarterbacks are under pressure. I mean, think about, like, when you think of Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, what play do you think of? You think of that ridiculous play against the Raiders where he had the guy bearing down on him, and he basically was, like, not even looking and threw the ball up and somehow completed it, like, 30 yards down. You know, that stuff is just not sustainable.
A lot of people talk about his last 2 years, and I'm the type of person where if you show me who you were for 12, 13 years, I'm going to normally believe that over the last 1 or 2 years. What do the stats say about a guy in those situations to where they play a little better, but do they completely – change who they are?
No, I mean, it's not likely. Fitzpatrick has been above average by our numbers as a passer for 3 straight years. Mm-hmm. The thing is, every time he plays, the same thing happens. The more he plays, the more his numbers go down. And I would expect that to happen in Washington, but I don't expect him to be, like, really bad. I expect him to be a little bit below average. Okay. And like I said, that's a huge improvement over what they had at quarterback last year.
I mean, it certainly is, especially when you look at kind of the yards per attempt, the air yards, any of those kind of advanced statistics. Alex and Dwayne, who started more than half of the games for this team, didn't go downfield whatsoever. How much more do you expect Fitz to look deep, and how much can that help this offense getting more explosive plays?
Oh, he'll look deep a lot more. I mean, God, Washington's so short with the average depth of target last year. Fitzpatrick's average depth of target last year was 21st in the league, which, again, that's like average. but that's so much higher than what Washington was. So there's no question they're going downfield more. I think the big question is how they're going to use Curtis Samuel, because Curtis Samuel's usage over the last 2 years has been so different. Like, he was running deep routes 2 years ago, and then last year all of a sudden it was all short stuff. And he was more successful with the short stuff, but the people that he's working with in Washington, who he worked with before in Carolina, were the ones who had him going deeper. So I don't know what exactly is going to happen with Samuel this year.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting with Samuel that, you know, he kind of bumped inside last year in Carolina's offense. But if you go back to 2019, he was on the outside plenty when Norv and then Scott Turner were running that thing. I expect to see that again. You said something interesting about the defense that, you know, last year they finished, you know, in the top five in almost every important statistical category. They also played some awful quarterbacks. They had, and it's just fluky the way the NFL is. I mean, they had a string where they faced a backup quarterback in six of eight games. What do you think this defense for this season? I think adding William Jackson can help a lot. I think Jamin Davis can help a lot. Is it reasonable to have top five, maybe best defense in the league expectations again?
I think you can have those expectations. It's not likely that they're going to be the best defense in the league again. So you've got your sort of like small scale look at things, like looking at the individual players. And then you've got the sort of large scale, bigger statistical trends. And if you look at large scale, bigger statistical trends, we have this thing called the plexiglass principle, which is teams that dramatically improve tend to bounce back towards the pack a little bit, and teams that dramatically decline tend to improve a little bit and bounce back towards the pack. So in our numbers, Washington went from 27th 2 years ago to third last year. So normally you're going to see a little bit of going back to the pack after that. Now, can they arrest that decline through some of their additions, especially William Jackson, which gives them the one thing they really didn't have last year, which is a number one cornerback? Yeah, I think that they can arrest some of that decline. And so I would expect them to still have like a top six or seven defense, maybe top five, but I don't expect it to be number one.
I mean, I think so kind of the big picture then for me becomes, if the defense stays top 10, and maybe they're pushing top five, right? And it's going to be a lot harder because they face Josh Allen, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. It's not Ben DiNucci and Nick Mullins running out there against them. But if the defense stays good and we get, kind of to your point, just average play from Ryan Fitzpatrick, in my opinion, you're looking at a 10-win team and a team that could win the NFC East again. How do you view all that shaking out this fall?
Yeah, we think the most likely is that you're going to get below average play from Fitzpatrick, still better than last year, but a little bit below average. And so we have them coming out around, like, well, I was going to say 8-8, but there is no such thing as 8-8 anymore. they have a little bit harder than average schedule. You know, listen, the fact is you go into the season, you make predictions. There's a range of possibilities because you don't know, first of all, what injuries are going to happen. You don't know luck, random bounces of the ball. You don't know which players have dramatically improved or declined from age over the offseason. So there's a range of possibilities. And in the range of that possibility is Washington being pretty good and being a playoff team in that range. Absolutely. They make the playoffs in 39% of our simulations. Mm-hmm. But the most likely result that we have for them is that they're kind of average.
Wow. Gotcha. Hey, Aaron, tell everybody how they can get the Almanac. I know the amount of work you guys put in is incredible. I don't know if it's subscriber or what the right term is, but I log in and check out all the DVOA stuff. I'm fascinated by it. I think the DVOA metrics, particularly defensively, are just the most accurate things to use as projections. But how can folks track down the Almanac?
Sure. So go to footballoutsiders.com. What you subscribe to is called FO Plus. That's our premium product. And if you're an FO Plus subscriber, which right now is on sale for the next year at $1 a week, you get the electronic copy of Football Outsiders Almanac 2021. You can read the team chapters online, or you can download the PDF of the entire 525-page book. So you want to go to footballoutsiders.com and subscribe to FO Plus. If you want the physical book, you can go to Amazon and look for Football Outsiders Almanac 2021.
Aaron, thank you so much for the time, man.
But that printer going to be printing for a long time, 500 and some pages.
Yeah, and the physical copy is big enough to kill all the mosquitoes in your area. So, believe me, it comes in handy for multiple reasons.
Everybody, check out Aaron on Twitter at @FO_A_Shots. Aaron, I really enjoyed this. I'd love to check back in with you as the season gets closer.
Yeah, and hopefully I'm wrong, and you'll check back in with me as the season gets closer. You check back in with me at midseason, and Washington will be 6-3, and you can tell me that I was wrong.
I want to talk about the special teams and the average starting our position next time, Aaron.
Well, and Beavis wants a bigger deep dive into that 91 Redskins team.
Oh, yeah,
team.
I would love that.
Yeah. Yes. he won't mind that at all.
I can talk about Washington in 1991 for a long time. It's a great, great
team. We'll have you for two segments.
Yeah. Aaron, thank you so much, dude. Right, appreciate Aaron. The time.
All right, bye, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right, you heard it. That's a guy that knows what he's talking about, and it's all backed up by data. It's not subjective, one scout's opinion on a player. Expectations for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Average, above average, below average. Taking your calls next, 106.7 The Fan. Regress.
But it's 27th without pressure.
27th without pressure.
So in other words, I take that as, like he said, the more he play, the more his numbers drop.
Correct.
Okay? So if I give him more time to think, he normally makes a mistake. When I make him have one decision, when you're pressuring a person, you normally think real quick and let the ball go. Will teams... Because there are a lot of stats people inside of football teams these days. Do they look at that and say, hey, sit back, give him time. He will make the mistake.
But the good news, the silver lining here, is that even if he is bad, Football Outsiders mathematical formula still thinks he'll be better than what they had last year at quarterback.
But I think we all expect that for whoever to be better than last year. But then you keep throwing something out, and every time you say it, I think about it, then I go, wow. 6 out of 8 teams in a row, they were playing backups. So if the backups are now starters and they play better against this defense that he say may take a step back, will just a little better than what last year was be enough?
I mean, let's go through
on offense,
it.
I'm trying to say.
So they beat the Cowboys on October 25th. That was Dalton, and I think Dalton got hurt in that game, and then
they had DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci. Giants lost Daniel Jones. Lions lost Matt Stafford. Bengals was the first of their 4-game win streak. Burrow was kind of carving them up early, and then Burrow gets hurt. Who the hell came in? Ryan Finley?
Whoever it was.
No relation, Cody? Dallas again. I think that was some combination of Dalton and DiNucci again, mm-hmm. Or maybe they even went with another dude. Wasn't there a fourth guy that played for Dallas? Steelers, Lamphill's favorite, Big Ben.
Lamphill would say he was a backup.
When they beat the Niners, it was Nick Mullins on the field.
Yeah.
Brian, you played in the NFL for 14 seasons. How would you feel if Nick Mullins, you're going into a season with Nick Mullins as your starting quarterback?
I'm not
going
to be very confident.
I don't think you are. Seahawks, Russell Wilson loss. Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater loss. That Panthers loss is... That one still sticks with me because they just could not get off the field. They could not stop the run. And then we all know week 17 against the Eagles, if Jalen Hurts doesn't come out of that game, I don't know what happens.
Yeah. And some
Lamphill says it was just flat out tanking.
Jalen Hurts was a backup.
Right. Or is.
So,
I mean, I do think you got to try to look at this thing holistically and see how good that defense was, and they really made plays, and they weren't getting much help from their offense. Because there are probably dudes in Cincinnati doing a sports radio show that are like, are you kidding me? They lost to Alex Smith and Kyle Allen and Dwayne Haskins. And
they're probably saying the same things.
Right. So if the offense is a little bit better, maybe that makes the defense a little better. It's all a symbiotic relationship that can all help.
But based off of those numbers of my man Aaron just now saying that the defense that normally had to take that big of a jump normally take a step back. The thing I ask is, when we say they're going to be better than last year offensively because of the quarterback play, that doesn't take much to be better than last year.
Right. I mean, I've said all along, I think the goal should be getting into the top 20 in the NFL.
Or the top 20, that would work too.
I would be mad at you, but you just brought all the boys lunch, so I'm going to be cool about it.
Yeah, I bought those guys in that other room.
Also, have you seen our guy? We got Ben White this week, Ben's days. The stock market's down like 800 points. So we got that going for us. 1 hour. We're going to talk
to... By the time we get Ben back, it maybe I'll be back.
Let's hope.
I hope the hell so.
Yeah, let's hope. Otherwise, nobody's retiring ever. Be 75 doing this. Mm-hmm. 1 hour. Michael Silver just joined the Washington football team as a content creator. He will join B. Mitch and Finley. Can't wait to talk to him. Next, 106.7 The Fan.